Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second half hour on this Friday, May 3rd, 2024 edition. Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. We put those markers in for the podcast. Go to the website, yourdefendingfathers.com. Click on podcasts, and you can listen on demand anytime you want, day or night, any segment you want. Just click on it. Listen away. We greatly appreciate you guys doing that. Pat Sheffield, you left off with your top five list heading into number three.
Number five, James Buchanan. Number four, James Monroe. Number three, Calvin Coolidge. He was took the presidency when Warren G. Harding died. Now, Harding's administration was rocked by a lot of scandal, and he was his vice president. Coolidge had won national recognition when he was governor of Massachusetts, when he put a clamp down on a strike from the American Federation of Labor, and he said that, quote, "There is no right to strike against the public safety by anybody, anywhere, anytime." He took a strong stand against it, kind of elevated him. He became the vice president. He was an active vice president under Harding. He was the first vice president to actually attend cabinet meetings. Remember, the vice presidency has kind of really changed over the centuries now. Originally, when John Adams was the first vice president, he said it's the most useless office ever created by pen of man. He hated it. And a lot of times, I'm going to talk about Harry Truman soon. He hardly even knew Roosevelt when he was chosen. I mean, they only spoken with each other a few times when he became president. But anyway, Calvin Coolidge, he was a strict congregational Christian, a Yankee, trusted the Bible, was known for his belief in Christianity. He was known as Silent Cal. Again, he's one of these presidents during the 20s when we had the roaring 20s and the booming economy. He just said, my job is to keep taxes low, and I'm the executive. You ever heard this expression where something bad's happening and somebody says, don't just stand there, do something? Well, but a lot of times with politicians, it's the opposite. Things are going well. Don't just do that. Do something. Stand there. In other words, right. What do we want from government? Sometimes we want them to simply leave us alone.
Yeah.
What more new laws do we need? Hey, let's just hold the line on what we've got. Let's keep taxes low. Keep freedom high.
The roaring 20s, just let it rip.
Yeah. Now, it was out of hand in a sense because people got greedy and rampant speculation in the stock market. But that's their call. And that is their call. And he wasn't the president when the stock market crashed. Herbert Hoover was. But whoever would have been president, you'd have gotten blamed for it.
Right, exactly.
Just the way it is. But sometimes your president, your job is to just oversee. You're the executive. I mean, he didn't have the big aspirations of a Woodrow Wilson. He wasn't thrown into a crisis like Abraham Lincoln or FDR. You know, the country didn't have to make a dramatic change like it did when Ronald Reagan was elected president or president. Our latest, the 45th president of the United States, Donald Trump. And we had to make a change there. He was just there as a president, known as Silent Cal. A little story when he was, because he said so little that he was at a press conference and somebody from the press said, Mr. President, I have a bet with one of my reporters that I can get you to say more than two words. And Calvin Coolidge responded with, you lose.
More than two words.
Yeah, he didn't get him. So you lose. Okay. That was Calvin Coolidge, good president. What more do you want?
So most of the time you ask him a question, his answer would be yes.
Yeah, very short.
Or no.
Very short. Yeah, very short.
Right.
And I don't think they had press secretaries in the way we do that. Where our current president won't take any question. They shield him from questions.
Right.
And we understand that. He's
past his useful age.
He used to be, for those who don't know, he's been in government a long time, and he used to be very sharp. Joe Biden was sharp. We agree with him or not, he was very sharp. He's not so sharp anymore. Please. And that's not, I'm not even trying to be disrespectful.
No, it's just a fact.
If somebody cared about President Biden, if somebody cared about Joseph Biden, they should say to him, excuse me, President Biden, why don't you just step down? Because you've done a good job. Thank you very much. But we all know that your mental acuity is not what it needs to be for the job. Because they don't really even
job.
That his okay, in my opinion, the people that are close to him must not care much about him to put him in the spot that he's in.
Yeah.
He's unable, let alone the country.
Well,
anyway,
just the pressure from the office and the responsibilities. He's just not up to. You got to have somebody that is absolutely got their mental faculties about them and be able to process. Look at what he's doing, standing by, you know, letting these protests on campuses, you know, the Ukraine, Russia war, China expanding into Taiwan. They're getting ready to do that later this summer. I mean, there's just all kinds of things that he is just completely not leading on.
Which is okay. I mean, he's an older man. And if there's, for what, Democrats listen to your program, they know, everybody knows it's true.
Sure.
They would probably be better off quietly moving him aside and getting a better candidate. But whatever, I'm not telling them what to do. But
right.
Anyway, so it's Buchanan, Monroe, Coolidge, the 18th president, Ulysses S. Grant. Now he is his administration was rocked by scandals. You remember Grant in 1857? He was a clerk in his father's tannery, his father's feed store.
Yep.
He had failed in everything but love and war. He was out of the military. I mean, just a clerk.
Yep.
Within 11 years, he's president of the United States. He was good at war, and he was a man that when he saw what had to be done, he did it. He was a good general, and because he was a war hero.
Now, point of clarification, he attended the military academy.
Yes,
West
yes,
Point.
He did. Yes,
he was in the army. What rank did he obtain at that point before basically getting kicked out?
I'm going to say something like a major, I think. Might have.
Okay, he was definitely officer material from West Point.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And what led to him basically getting removed as a major?
Well, he just resigned.
He quit.
Yeah, he just resigned. He was so tired of being away from home. He loved his wife. He and his wife had a good relationship, and he was way out in, I think it was California territory, and he missed his wife, and he says, I just can't handle this. But then he would always think, yeah, but after he had quit, he would say, poverty, poverty. Poverty stands. That's, I mean, he was in the military because that's what he did. He was a soldier and a good one.
Yeah.
And he wasn't a businessman. Now, he was a good general, but.
Because Lincoln went after him and said, hey, I need you back in the military. I need you in the army. I need you to come back. Is that how that happened?
No, he came back because he felt a moral obligation. He had to come back.
Got it.
But when he was winning victories out west at Fort, I think it was Donelson, Shiloh, he didn't win at Shiloh, but he had distinguished himself as a good soldier. Lincoln heard about him, and he says, I need this man. He fights. He
yep.
fights. And so, as you know, he was the general that accepted the the surrender of Robert E. Lee, and he was very generous with Lee. After the Civil War, he said, let there be peace. Let us have peace. He was trying to bring the South in to the Union gracefully. Yet he did establish the Freedmen's Bureau. He kept federal troops in the South. He was trying to make sure that the 13th and 14th Amendments were enforced.
Followed, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to let the slaves be the blacks be re-enslaved. So he was good in a lot of issues. It's true. He had some scandal, but he was personally very right. But, you know, but some people took advantage of him. He, in his lying, almost with his last breath, he wrote his memoirs of the Civil War while he had throat cancer.
Mm.
And he finished it like 2 weeks before he died, and he was able to restore his family fortune, which he was not an ever rich man, but he had been built out of his money after he left office by scams. I guess if he had a fault, he believed people. you believe people. But when you look now, you look back at Grant, bringing the country back together was a very difficult task. I know we look at Lincoln, the president during the Civil War, but now Reconstruction period, very difficult task. And I don't know anybody that could have done it better. So I call him underrated. I mean, he was a good president. What could you have done better than – how could the Reconstruction have been done better? There was a lot of – you've heard me talk about, you know, the radical Republicans and radical Reconstruction and so on and so forth. And it was a difficult task after the Civil War. I don't know who could have done better than Grant. I don't know. And I kind of admire him. Okay, my last – here's my most underrated president from my perspective – and my opinion is worth 2 cents. That's Harry Truman. He was the 33rd president of the United States. Now he's the last president didn't have a college degree. He grew up in Missouri. I'm reading a biography now about him, and that always gets me hot on something. When you read something that's kind of David McCullough's biography entitled Harry Truman. It's like 1,000 pages. It's going to take me a couple months to wade through this because I'm not going to rush through it. But he was a humble man initially. By the way, I was going to say this. He was a humble man. Who is humble and becomes a senator? I mean, who is humble and becomes a governor? Who is
Nobody.
Humble? Yeah, who's humble and becomes a president? It's just, I mean, he had some ambition. But he never really left his Missouri roots. Never really left them. And he was a pretty smart guy. Now, he wasn't brilliant, but he was sharp. And smart. First of all, he comes into the presidency upon the death of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and he finds out we've got an atomic weapon. I mean, an atomic bomb. He didn't even know anything about it. And by the way, we have this bomb that might end the war. Whoa. I mean, he had to be brought up to speed very quickly. Well, I'll finish up after the break.
Final segment of our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. We'll be right back.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
Free spring inspection for your vehicle. Bring your vehicle to Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell in Petoskey. Get a free inspection of your wiper blades, tires and wheels, a battery test, brake pads and rotors. Call to schedule an appointment at 231-347-1001. Make sure your vehicle is ready for summer. It's coming. Again, call Royal Tire at 231-347-1001.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Final segment in our conversation with Pastor Chatfield, the five most underrated presidents. And Truman, I wouldn't even say underrated from the standpoint of foreign policy and military, based on what he did to basically end World War II.
Okay, there's a lot of things I say about Truman. First of all, you know, he steps into the presidency. I'm not saying ill-prepared. He was smart. You don't get to where he got without being smart. But he was not kept in the loop. I think I read that he only had spoken with the president like 4 times. I mean, he was not kept in the loop. And now he's got to be brought into the loop. The first thing he said to FDR's widow was, is there anything we can do for you? And she said, Mr. President, is there anything we can do for you? I mean, it's like, here we are near the end of World War II, and now you're the president of the United States. How are we going to deal with Hitler? How are we going to deal with Japan? And Truman's first concern, what could I do for this man's widow? When he was informed that FDR died, he kind of just sat there kind of stunned. Well, I guess I'm president. And but he handled it. He handled it. He went over and had negotiations with Stalin and with Chamberlain. And people thought, well, he's going to be out of his league. This guy can't. He can't handle himself. But he did handle himself. He did handle himself. When he was told about the bomb and after we had warned the Japanese to surrender and they didn't, he used it. You know, he said, you know, I considered it a military weapon and I had no doubt that it should be used. Now, maybe he did have doubts in his heart of hearts. Man, a lot of people are going to die from this. But he acted. He did. He did what he had to do. You got to give him credit for that. He did not shrink from his duty. When Israel became a nation, he made the decision to recognize Israel. And even though much of his cabinet didn't want him to, he had a Jewish friend that was a businessman back there in Kansas City. And he just made the decision, oh, we're going to recognize him. And that was a great move. It was Truman that devised what we call the Truman Doctrine in foreign policy, which said, look, when communism starts trying to expand, we're going to contain communism. We're going to contain communism. We are not going to let communism expand. And we're going to fight it. Now, wherever it happens, whether it would be in Korea, Vietnam, whatever, we're going to contain communism. And the Truman Doctrine kind of guided American foreign policy for 45 years. So he did what he had to do. He oversaw. He was during his administration. We entered into the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. We you know, to try to keep Western Europe free. It was in his administration that we had the Marshall Plan. We spent a lot of money. Some people don't like that, but hey, France, you know, West Germany, Netherlands, Western Europe. Hey, they didn't turn communism. He prevented them from turning communistic. It was during the Korean War that he did something unpopular, but probably right. When General Douglas MacArthur didn't obey his command, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, he had to fire him, and he did fire him. Why? Because the Constitution says that the president is the commander-in-chief, not Douglas MacArthur. Now, maybe MacArthur was right. Maybe Truman was right. I don't know. We could debate that forever. But you have to obey the orders of the president, and he removed him, even though it was very unpopular. So Truman is an underrated president. Now, in recent years, he is becoming less underrated. But I look at him from a historical perspective. No, he did not turn back the New Deal policies. He didn't. He tried to expand them and didn't always succeed at it.
Well, he was a Democrat.
He was a Democrat. He was a Democrat. But he wasn't a Democrat the way we got Democrats now. There's just
no, none of them
no
are.
No comparison whatsoever. And he was decisive in his actions.
Yep.
And he had a lot of common sense in his actions. And he was a Baptist. Okay, whatever that's worth. But so that's Harry Truman.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, like you say, I believe the last greatest Democrat was John F. Kennedy. And I think that the Democrat Party has gotten so far away from his policies and his platforms and the things that he was doing, what he did actually as president, and his leadership skills, Cuban Missile Crisis, all the other things that that he was involved in. I just think he was the best last Democrat, and it's gone downhill since then.
I don't know if you remember, but when Ronald Reagan was promoting supply-side economics, he used to quote John F. Kennedy.
All the time. Okay, absolutely.
He used to quote him. One more thing about Truman, the Berlin Airlift. When when Stalin said, we're not going to let anything come into the western part of Berlin, which was in the Soviet sector of Germany, Truman said, no, well, we are going to send planes 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we're going to supply. He stood up to Stalin, and eventually Stalin backed down.
Yep.
He eventually backed down. So Truman was decisive on these things. We got to give him credit. We didn't have a nuclear exchange. He contained communism. He recognized Israel. He ended World War II. Yeah, I think he was a good president.
Now, was he president? He was still president in 1947, right?
Correct. Yes.
And that whole thing with Israel and creating the state, wasn't that 1947, the war?
48.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
And it took courage to do that. He did some things that took courage. I don't think he went out and did poll tested every question the way presidents do now, or a lot of presidents do.
No,
he had some beliefs, and he did it, and he was decisive, and you got to give him credit.
Yeah,
I do. Absolutely. Anyway. I do anyway.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, it's interesting. Like you say, they're presidents of the United States. We don't always remember everything they did. Monroe Doctrine, totally forgot about that. That was well presented. So appreciate the time in the history lesson and the research. And going forward, it's May. We're heading into Mother's Day, and we are excited about spring is coming. Summer is coming. We're finally going to have it. What are we talking about at church on Sunday?
1 Kings chapter 1, how David, the father, he wasn't a great father, but him and his son, and how he didn't sometimes you got to displease people to do what's best. And you'll get the message. 1 Kings chapter 1, what happens, and you'll like
so
it.
So now you folks can't be bugging me, asking me what you need to have your Bible turned to. You're
First
ready
Kings
to go.
1.
First Kings 1.
Okay.
All right, David. Yes. Hey, I want to thank you for the lesson and appreciate you guys as a sponsor. People have kept responding to us here at the radio station about your commercials, and we're glad to say thank you very much for listening.
Amen.
So appreciate you doing that. And we are going to continue as a public service every Sunday from 11 noon, carry church services, Pastor Chatfield out there at Northern Michigan Baptist Bible Church in Burtlake. They're on 68 between Indian River and Lanson. Why don't you go see what he looks like instead of just hearing his voice on the radio? Go see what this guy, Rusty, looks like. So.
Yeah, very good.
We appreciate you, sir. God bless.
God bless you, Randy.
Final hour of today's show. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop.
Hey, everybody. It's Sherry LaFave in Onaway. Come join the Presque County Republicans at this year's Reagan Day fundraiser dinner, Saturday, May the 11th at the Posen Community Center. Come enjoy a great dinner and hear from Patriot rock star Mark Farner, founding member of the original Grand Funk Railroad Band. For tickets, call Darren Darga at 231-489-9254. Call today, 231-489-9254. See you there.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TRUCKERRANDY, or call 800-654-9659. 97.7 FM, WCHY, Sheboygan.
Your current time is 11 o'clock.
Michigan News Source. Brought to you this hour by the Michigan Chamber of Commerce. On the job every day, fighting for